The second problem is that many businesses aren't thinking about how AI needs to be integrated into their actual business. If you're a SaaS tool, that's an easy one, right? Almost every SaaS tool today, if they aren't already, they should be considering how artificial intelligence can be baked into their product and help their customers do more with less. But even non-SaaS companies, they can find ways to use artificial intelligence in like customer support through chat and FAQs and those kinds of things. There's just so many ways that AI can supplement what you're doing as a business and help you scale and help your clients even more.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the AI Marketing Navigator. This is your daily compass in the ever-evolving world of AI marketing. Okay, we are back today with Mike Alton, the chief storyteller at Agora Pulse, talking about everything AI implementation for marketers, businesses, and what that means for society beyond. If you were listening to yesterday's episode, we certainly got into the philosophical side of AI and what it means for the future. And at risk of rambling on, because you guys know that I'm obsessed with talking all about that, I decided that we should end there before I got on my soapbox about AI, as it were, and move on to today. But Mike, thank you again for being here today. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Awesome. You mentioned yesterday that in the early 2020s and kind of as AI wave crashed down on all of us, you felt the need to help marketers, to help businesses, to help them tell their stories with AI and by implementing AI in their organizations. I know you do that at Agora Pulse. Can you dive into what that implementation looks like for you as a strategist and how that experience goes?
Yeah. So an easy example for me is that, as you mentioned, Agora Pulse, I have five podcasts total. I have four at Agora Pulse, my AI marketing podcast. That's my own side project. I didn't start with five podcasts at Agora Pulse. I started with one at the beginning of 2024, the MarTech show. I've been a showrunner for different shows in the past, but this was my first time being in front of the camera hosting the show. And my CEO came to me in, I'd say, mid Q1. 2024. I said, Mike, I want you to start launching some new podcasts, two of them in particular, where you're going to interview prospects in the specific industries that we want to go into as a company, primarily marketing agencies and social media managers in the retail space. So those are a couple of our ICPs.
I see.
And the goal of those podcasts is just to get their stories, have conversations with them, and build relationships with those specific companies. So I started doing that. So at the time I had the MarTech show, which was a live weekly show, and I was trying to launch the agency show and the retail show as weekly podcasts. And that meant a tremendous amount of work, not only in the launching of a podcast, but each show required that I spend at least a couple of hours researching the guest. That's after I even found the guest, right? Like, if you agreed to come on the show, great. Thanks, Alex. Appreciate you going to be on the show. I would spend a couple hours looking at your LinkedIn, looking at the guest onboarding forms that I had you fill in and those kinds of things, and coming up with the angle and the approach for the show, the questions to ask you, building out the run of show. That was a lot of work. And when I was trying to do that for three different shows every single week, that was a lot. And I was struggling. I was struggling to keep up with that, along with everything else that I've been doing. So, I mean, we did some organizational restructuring and took some other stuff off my plate. But the real magic for me was when I realized just how much AI can help me in that process. I learned how to create a custom GPT, those custom sets of instructions that you can give the AI to do a set of steps repeatedly over and over again, including, you know, give you very specific kinds of output. And I built a custom GPT. By the way, I learned this from Dan Chez. He has one called myshowrunner.com. So I took what he'd done. It's a showrunner for podcasting. And I adapted it to my shows and added the things that I needed it to do. And in the end, I created a set of instructions for the AI where I'd be able to give it your name. I'd say, I'm interviewing Alex. And it'd say, cool, give me Alex's LinkedIn. So I'd copy and paste in your LinkedIn address. And it said, fantastic. I can see Alex is a web developer, an agency owner, and he's got his own podcast and all this other stuff that it's able to tell. And it would ask me, because I told it to, what would you like to talk about with Alex? And either I have already an idea, or as you know, Alex, because you've been on my show, I've got a form that y'all fill out and my guests tell me what they're willing to talk about. So again, I'm just copy and pasting that into ChatGPT or Magi, which is the tool that I usually use. And it says, fantastic. Based on what Alex's background is and all the things that Alex is good at and wants to talk about, here are 5 ideas for a topic for the show. And I pick one. And it says, cool. Here's 10 title ideas for the show based on that topic. And I pick one. And it says, fantastic. Here's the 10 questions that you can ask Alex. Here's the 3 expected takeaways. Here's a custom introduction of the topic. And here's a customized bio of the guest that you can read. And that now takes me 20 minutes instead of 2 hours. Those are the kinds of processes that I'm on the lookout for personally, professionally, right, within AgoraPulse primarily, that these are things that I'm doing on a regular basis that I know AI can help me with in some respect. It doesn't have to do everything, right? It's not conducting the interview, but I found certain parts of my role that I could bring AI in effectively and streamline what I'm doing and make it even better. I mean, some of the questions AI comes with are really, really good. It understands, just like I do, how to guide the conversation through a series of questions to get to the ultimate thing that we want to be able to teach, which was decided at the outset, right? Mm-hmm. We picked the topic, and the topic is the thing that we want people to come away with, right? The key takeaway. So it understands how to guide them through. I rarely have to make changes to the questions because they're really, really good. And I love it when a guest tells me, oh my God, that's a really good question. I love that. I'm like thinking, yeah, Claude wrote that question. And I'll tell them that. I'll be transparent about that. So those are the kinds of things that I'm doing for myself. And of course, now I'm turning around and I'm sharing that kind of discovery and experimentation with my audience through the podcast, through the blog. I'm texting my friends and saying, hey, have you tried Gemini? Gotten really, really good. You can use memory in Gemini and create gems just like custom GPTs and that sort of thing. And so that's how I'm trying to level up what I'm doing, level up AgoraPulse and our use and understanding of AI internally as an organization, and of course to the larger marketing industry and audience.
Awesome. So many things I want to get into there. First of all, I'm taking notes on how you structure your podcast interviews and stuff. Again, this is my first podcast interview. So I'm considering the fact that, you know, Mike hosts 5 different podcasts. That's definitely his wheelhouse. So thank you for the tips. I really like the thing about a key takeaway for each episode and focusing on that kind of more than focusing on a topic, if you would. But anyway, I digress. I want to get into the technical details about how you built those custom GPTs. But first, because we're talking about how kind of what you're doing at AgoraPulse as far as implementation goes and at organizations, can you tell me a little bit about your thoughts on AI literacy in a marketing department, in a marketing team? What's kind of the essential knowledge baseline? If we're talking to a marketing manager who's looking to just get his team to a baseline, his or her team to a baseline in AI efficiency, what does that look like to you?
I'll start by saying transparently, AgoraPulse, we're still a work in progress. So mm-hmm. I don't have free reign. I'm not a head of marketing there or a CEO. It's not up to me to say what we are or not going to do in terms of AI training. So it's still a little sporadic there. But generally, AI literacy and training is critical. I had a conversation the week before our conversation here, Alex, with Corbett Drummy, who works for Lightrix, is one of the co-founders of Popular Pays. He works at Lightrix now. They did a study with the American Marketing Association, and they were looking very specifically at how much training and AI literacy is going on with their organizations. And what was fascinating was the gap between executives and individual staff members and employees. And I would think most of us, 5 or 10 years ago, might have guessed that it was the individual employees who were excelling. Because if we were thinking about it 5 or 10 years ago, our model or our benchmark probably would have been social media. And if we were looking at social media marketing, it was very clear 5 or 10 years ago that it was the individual contributors who were taking the time to learn social media and execute on it. It wasn't the executives. They didn't have time for social media. With artificial intelligence, the absolute reverse is happening. 77% of executives are using AI weekly, compared to just 53% of individual employees and contributors. They are not the ones who are driving AI usage, and therefore they're not the ones who are driving AI training and literacy, but they're the ones with the need. That's where the real dichotomy was surfaced in that particular report. It's imperative that businesses come up with a plan for artificial intelligence. And what's interesting is that plan's got to be threefold. It's got to start with the individual employees. How are they using AI? How are we using AI? What tools are we going to use? Are we going to use ChatGPT? Cool. Are we going to make sure that everyone has a ChatGPT professional account? Or are we going to leave it up to the individuals to decide so that some people are using ChatGPT, other people are using Claude, other people are using Gemini, other people aren't using anything at all? That's not a winning strategy. That's just throwing it against the wall and seeing what sticks. So you got to think about that. How are they using it, and give them specific use cases so that they know? That's one of the real challenges with artificial intelligence. It's not a tool like Canva, where I can tell you, if you've never used Canva, you're going to open it up and you're going to use it to create some graphics. And as soon as I've said that, you could probably imagine what Canva looks like because it's pretty straightforward. Artificial intelligence is a technology, not a specific tool. And so you need to be told, hey, you can use this to drop your report extracts as CSV files in, and then have a conversation with ChatGPT about what the data was actually telling you. Or take a translation of a transcript of a French interview, drop it into ChatGPT, and get an English summary. It'll do all those things and more, but you don't know that unless you're told. So that's the first problem. The second problem is that many businesses aren't thinking about how AI needs to be integrated into their actual business. If you're a SaaS tool, that's an easy one, right? Almost every SaaS tool today, if they aren't already, they should be considering how artificial intelligence can be baked into their product and help their customers do more with less. But even non-SaaS companies, they can find ways to use artificial intelligence in like customer support, through chat and FAQs and those kinds of things. There's just so many ways that AI can supplement what you're doing as a business and help you scale and help your clients even more. But the third challenge is the one that way too few businesses are even thinking about, and that is, how is AI going to disrupt my industry?
Right.
We talked about that in the last episode. If you guys didn't listen to it, go back and listen to it. We talked about how how technology in the previous industrial revolutions completely disrupted industries. Well, AI is doing that today. And if your business isn't thinking and trying to imagine how AI is going to change your entire industry within the next 3 to 5 years, you really are putting your business at risk. So these are the things that businesses need to be doing. You need to have an AI council or a committee or a group that is meeting regularly and talking through these three benchmarking, or I'd say three pillars of AI literacy and training within the organization, wondering what you need to do next to keep ahead of these challenges.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think I love those three pillars that you covered. And it's fascinating to me that, and I think it's also the dichotomy between executives and kind of individual contributors is also fascinating. And I think it kind of illustrates another gap that you were talking about. I think the Fortune 50, the big guys in the space, they're all in on AI. I mean, and I think if you're a small to medium sized business, or maybe just not one of the Fortune 100 businesses in the country or something, you can't afford not to be. As you're saying, it's just too critical as a business if you want to be competitive in the next 3 to 5 years. And there's no doubt that the Coca-Colas and of the world are doing whatever they can as far as implementing AI and finding a way to do it. And they've probably been doing it for a lot longer than in your average small business or your average marketer or, your mini hat wearing business owner has been doing. So I think the criticalness of that is just so, so, so clear, as you mentioned, not just for the businesses, but for the individual workers who are, like you said, probably have some fear of displacement. To learn, to upskill yourself during this industrial revolution is just so key. So couldn't agree more with you on so many things there.
Can I interject real quick?
Absolutely,
there, Alex,
please,
because
please.
I think the really critical point that you're suggesting is that artificial intelligence implementation is not expensive. It's not something that's reserved for a Fortune 100 company. The solopreneur boutique owner can implement AI.
Right.
The only difference is that a Fortune 100 company has thousands of employees. And so they've got thousands of people who could potentially be thinking about how AI could help them. I am just one of 175 people at Agora Pulse. I know I'm not the only one who's thinking about AI for the company overall, but multiply my organization by 10. And now we've got a lot more people who are having conversations internally about AI. Now reduce that again by a factor of 10. And it's just, it's harder for the small business owner, the medium business owner, because they have fewer employees, fewer resources, fewer individuals who can be taking 10 minutes out of their day to read about what the latest things are out in Gemini, Claude, ChatGPT, and trying to understand how they can be applied to their individual role in the company as a whole. That's the challenge. It's not a cost factor. I think that's important to understand.
I think I really like that point as well. I mean, it should not be a barrier. The cost should certainly not be a barrier for small to medium-sized businesses looking for ways to implement AI and optimize their strategy. We talk about that so much on our show. I know you talk about that on your show. That's our goal. I know that's your goal as you go through the AI Marketing Unpacked and try and share these stories and this content. So, you know, as long as there'll be AI to learn, we're going to be running the AI Marketing Navigator. I know you're going to be doing the same with your podcast. So, guys, just, you know, it's never too early. Yesterday was the day to start spending. Again, it's hard to find 10 minutes if you're a small organization, but managers, executives, if you can find a way to incorporate that into the expectations for your employees, even so they don't feel like they're breaking the rules when they're studying AI. If you can work that into some, whether it's a weekly meeting or some sort of sprints about AI or something, I would highly, highly recommend that. I'm going to pause there for today for our second break here. And we're going to pick up tomorrow, you guys, with Mike for one last episode where we cover just a few more key topics. We're going to get into the technical side of how Mike builds his GPTs. Mike mentioned Magi, which is a new AI tool for me, and we're all about the AI tools on the AI Marketing Navigator. So we're going to touch on Magi a little bit. Mike, if we can come back tomorrow, that would be awesome.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Okay.